If that was the only thing we would do today, that would be good. If that was the only thing we would do this week, oh my, that'd be good. Shalom to you, friends. Christ be your shalom. Jesus said in our lesson today, "Peace I leave with you. My peace, says Jesus, I give to you. I do not give as the world gives." Jesus holds out this gift of peace and doesn't say, "Come and get it." Jesus says, "I give." This word, this idea of peace, of shalom, it's more than just not arguing. The original word, the Greek that it comes from in the Bible, includes peace, of course, but includes tranquility. It includes wholeness. It includes security. When Jesus says, "My security I give to you," of the many things he could be talking about, one he's talking about is that in this troubled world, which is troubled and is beautiful, in this beautiful world, which is beautiful and is troubled, of all the things we can do, well, you know the story, or maybe you do. In the very beginning, God created humankind. In the image of God, God created us. Male and female, God created us. And put us in this beautiful garden. And then, well, I won't go in the details, but it got messy. And there was finger pointing and arguing and fruit eating. It wasn't good at all. And we know that. And we know that from generation after generation, we've tried to be good. We've tried and we've striven and we've messed up. And we know in our own lives, sometimes we're riding high and great, and sometimes there's trouble and trials. So Jesus gives us security. Not national homeland security. He gives us the security that even when God sent this most sacred blessing into the world, even when God sent God's beloved into the world and the world put him on a cross, through the cross, Jesus reached out and gives us blessing. So there is nothing, not even death, that will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. This word, this peace, this wholeness, also includes, well, to be technical, exemption from battle. And throughout humankind, we've had wars and rumors of wars, and there have been times where there have been conscriptions or the draft. And you could get out if you paid somebody else to go fight for you, or if you had flat feet, or, well, a number of reasons. But what Jesus offers us through all the troubles in this world, through all the trials, is that Jesus wins the victory for us. He won the victory for us. So Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." Trouble. Are you in trouble? You ever remember being little, or did you ever hear, "Oh, he's in trouble"? You don't want that said about you. The trouble is, what? Do I even need to define it? Do I even need to talk about it? If I do, then you've had a very lucky life. Trouble. The Greek word for trouble, terasso, means agitation or struggling. We know through human history, through the study of humankind, that there have been and there are troubles. We know from our own lives that there are trials and struggles and agitations And through it all, Jesus reaches a hand and offers us peace, wholeness, grace. Shalom to you, friends. Christ be your shalom. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. What we come for here, yes, to learn. Yes, some come to seeking healing. Some come listening for a beautiful song. But even in listening for a beautiful song, the song stirs in our hearts and brings us peace, the peace of Christ. What we come for is nothing less than the grace of Jesus Christ our Lord. And what a blessing it is to come together for this. We know by faith that the very nature of God, the triune God, the one God who is Trinity. Well, St. Augustine calls the Trinity, and for centuries we've tried to figure out who is Trinity. How do we wrap our minds around that? But St. Augustine says, well, could it be that the Trinity is lover, eternal lover, the eternally beloved, and the love between them? And that describes a relationship. And when God created us to be in relationship, and we know that relationships get disrupted. We know that there are struggles and there are troubles and there are trials on playgrounds, and sometimes even in those special places called hockey arenas. Not always do people get along. We know that there are troubles on interstates. We know there are troubles around kitchen tables and trials and arguments. And through it all, Christ offers a hand to give us peace. This Sunday, we mark as, well, some churches call it Rally Sunday, and it is. Some churches call it Back to Church Sunday. But for many, we've been coming. And some churches, we've called it Fall Kickoff Sunday. And among the many things today, we're talking about welcoming. And what we're welcoming to is nothing less than peace, than shalom, than the grace of Jesus Christ. I'm going to show you a clip. Oh, can you do the next? This clip is, you may have seen the movie Forrest Gump. And I don't need to tell you about the whole movie. And if you haven't seen it, you can or you can't. It's up to you. But this is about a little boy on his first day of school. Do you remember your first, well, a first in your life? I do remember walking one of our boys to school on his first day of kindergarten. It was a half-mile walk, and we're holding hands. And my little boy asked, Dad, are the other kids going to like me there? And isn't that the question? On your first day of school, on your first day of middle school, on your first day of your new job, isn't that what any visitor coming in our parking lot is asking? Are the kids going to like me in there? Isn't that our question?
Tiger. Tiger. Can't sit here.
You know, it's funny what a young man recollects, because I don't remember being born.
I don't recall what I got for my first Christmas, and I don't know when I went on my first outdoor picnic, but I do remember the first time I heard the sweetest voice in the wide world.
You can sit here if you want.
I had never seen anything so beautiful in my life. She was like an angel.
Well, you're gonna sit down, aren't you? What's wrong with your legs?
I'm nothing at all, thank you. My legs are just fine and dandy.
I just sat next to her on that bus and had a conversation all the way to school.
My back's crooked like a question mark. These are gonna make me a straight. Next to Mama,
no one ever talked to me or asked me questions.
You can't sit here. Can't the sweetest thing you've ever heard be, you can sit here if you want to. Come on, I've got a spot for you. I had a friend describe coming back to church after being gone for a while. And the friend said, you know, you look in the church and you see good things going on, but it's as if there's saran wrap around the doors. It's like cellophane is around the whole church, and you have to you push your way in. And I don't know if that's been that way for you ever, but it is that way for some folks. And maybe the saran wrap is the guilt over that thing you've done. Or maybe it's I haven't come after 1, 2, 3 weeks, and if I come, people are going to ask. And it can be so hard to push your way into church. There's in rabbinical thought, or thought among rabbis, there is a group of rabbis who say when you build a home, when you build any house, you need to build it so that there is a door on all four sides of your house. You build your house so there's a door on all four sides so that no matter what direction a visitor is coming from, they will find welcome. Well, when you drive up to this church, we're thick with doors. They're all over the place. And I don't just mean every fourth door is a bathroom or a cookie either. We've got doors all over the place, and not only that, but just inside the door, we have a welcoming face. And not just one welcoming face. I remember the first time I came, and I saw at each door a welcoming face, and sometimes a hand reaching out. I don't know if you've ever heard the song, but Louis Armstrong says, I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? What they're really saying is, I'm really glad you came to church today. See, what we're offering is nothing less than shalom. The peace that passes all understanding, a wholeness. And the people that have poked their way a little bit through the cellophane, sometimes it's a brand new visitor, sometimes it's someone who's been here week after week after week, and then they've had that thing happen on Wednesday. Or they've got that terrible news on Thursday, or they've had a whole week that was just, And we come just as we are. And as we come, isn't it wonderful that we are thick with doors? And not just doors, but people to open the doors and to welcome. What a rich privilege it is to come together and to welcome one another in Christian love. And not only do we have doors, but we do have cookies. We have cookies and drinks, but if the goal of the day was to be filled with sweets and coffee, well, we could get that done. We could make that happen. But we know that the cookies aren't just to be gobbled up. We know that they're an excuse. We can go eat anywhere. those cookies are just an excuse to hold us here longer. So we talk to each other. And we share a hand. And if you ever see this, please walk up and say, you can sit here if you want to. When I grew up in, I mentioned before, Austin, Minnesota, the church I grew up in, at the side of the sanctuary, just over here, was the fellowship window. Underneath our folding chairs was the shuffleboard court. And right here, right when church got done, the window would roll open and they'd have the cookies and the Kool-Aid and the little paper cups and coffee. And I remember going there, and this big, burly man came up. And I saw him in church for years. He was scary looking. He had these huge, furry eyebrows. And, this is true, from a little boy's perspective, seeing this huge man with big, bushy eyebrows and big barrel chest. And I was trying to get my cookie as fast as I can so I could get on out of there. And he came over to me and he said, did you read the comics today? And then we started talking about Dagwood and Blondie. And if you don't know these comics, that's fine. But it's like asking anything that we can ask to each other. In that same church, I remember being in the Sunday school wing, and I remember the guy we called the gum guy. I'll just make you guess what he gave out. But years later, I learned that his name was Don Bailey. I didn't know it when I was little. I just knew that when I went to church, there was this man who was happy to give me something tasty. I knew that there was this adult who cared about me. What we have to offer is nothing less than shalom. I've heard church described as a family reunion. I've also heard church described as somebody else's family reunion. Have you ever gone to somebody else's family reunion? My dad in Chatfield, Minnesota, said that for years there's one guy who would go to the park and just wait for family reunions to come so he could eat. Now, if that's you, bless your heart. Go ahead and gobble up. But for many, if you show up at somebody's, or have you ever been the brand new date going to somebody else's family reunion, you feel like that odd penguin. Everybody else is waddling just like you are, but you just don't feel quite right.
You are a puffball. You're not even a low-life scum-sucking maggot. The bus, you're in the army now.
Saints take it.
At first, it seemed like I made a mistake, seeing how it was only my induction day and I was already getting yelled at.
Sit down if you want to.
I didn't know who I might meet or what they might ask.
You ever been on a real shrimp boat?
No, but I've been on a real big boat.
I'm talking about a shrimp catching boat. I've been working on shrimp boats all my life. I started out on my uncle's boat, that's my mama's brother, when I was about maybe 9. I was just looking into buying a boat of my own and got drafted. My given name is Benjamin Buford Blue. People call me Bubba, just like one of them old redneck boys. Can you believe that?
My name's Forrest Gump. People call me Forrest Gump.
I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? What they're really saying is, I love you. When we see one another, when we see each other's face and we don't know what to say, we can say, have you ever been on a shrimp boat? We can say things like, have you read the comics today? Did you know about the Vikings playing tomorrow? And we even have permission to say, I don't care about the Vikings. I wouldn't go so far as to bringing up the Packers, but we can say we don't care about the Vikings. We can go ahead and just try out a conversation. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? What they're really saying is shalom to you. We are thick with doors, and what a blessing it is that we have people at each door and inside the doors to welcome. And if you feel lost and you don't know where to go, or you showed up late or showed up too early, we have ushers to bring you in and guide you to where you can go. We also have people who weekly sponsor fresh flowers. And they are here to God's glory, but also what they say is this time and this place is a special time, a special place, and we will put the fresh, good stuff out for God's glory. I invite you, and you may notice that just outside the sanctuary, there are some tables with some offerings for you to get involved in. If you've never been to one of the doors to welcome people, I invite you to give it a try. And if you're nervous about it, come talk to me or come talk to Liz, who not only plays the flute, but guides the welcoming at the doors. I invite you, there's a sign-up sheet for welcoming at the door, for ushering, but also for the snacks that we have and the treats. There's a sign-up sheet for this thing we call communion, which when we serve the body and blood of Christ, it is such a special time in our lives. It is such a special gift that I invite you into this gift of serving. Jesus said, peace. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. The welcoming hand that we offer, oh, there's nothing like it. Even to, and especially to, our little ones. Through church time together, through kids' church, and through the nursery, we let kids know not that you're welcome here, but we want you here. We let kids of all ages know. You can sit here if you want to. Now, as we come and we worship together and we ask for the peace of Christ and we bestow the peace of Christ with one another, we also come and pray. You may know and you may have seen or you might have forgotten that 14 years ago, yesterday, there were terrible attacks. Or was it yesterday? What day is it today? Friday. I'm working on my memory. But this country has changed and the world has changed. And Jesus said, peace I leave with you. But we know that there are times and places where there is not peace. So I invite you, and I invite myself right now, to just take a quiet moment. And we'll pray. We'll take a quiet moment before prayer just to honor those whose lives, the first responders and people who had no other plans at all, but lives have been ripped up and torn up. Let's take a moment to remember September 11th. Gracious God, give us your peace. And for all the concerns and all the joys in our hearts, dear God, we lift them to you now as we remember the victims of conflict between nations and those here at home. We also lift before you and ask your healing hand on Ted and on Bonnie. Dear God, please pour out your blessings and healing on Katie and John and Twyla and Julia. And dear God, hear us as we pray in the quiet now, the prayers that we hesitate to call forward, but the prayers that are in our hearts. Hear us, dear God, as we pray in the quiet now. Blessing, God, we lift these prayers to you through our hope, through our peace, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.